All right, showtime. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Monday, August 7th. Stocks have their worst week since March. Key inflation data coming out this week. Are more hikes on the way? One Fed member thinks so. JP Morgan no longer sees a recession. Wells Fargo sees a recession. We'll take a look at what some analysts are saying. Plus, my portfolio is full. I'll show you the wheel trades that I'm in, and you could let me know if I'm crazy for being in these trades or not. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. If this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. Today, we're going to call the show Coffee with Mark. But Marcus will be here soon. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about. And even though I'm running the show solo today, you could say we have a ton of trading experience here at Rockwell Trading. Decades, in fact. We know our stuff. We're not afraid to tell it like it is. And if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, then you shouldn't be anywhere other than here. Before we dive in and show you our trades and how we're tackling these crazy markets, let's take a look at what's going on in the markets today. And here I have the S&P 500 up. Let's go ahead and switch over to a weekly chart, and we see here that on a weekly basis, the S&P pulling back down 2.3%, the worst slide since March, the beginning of March here, and we've been in this impressive uptrend, just plugging along, moving higher, getting a little parabolic, and we had a down week last week. So things coming back down a little bit. Should we worry? We'll talk about that, but we see here that we dip below the 4,500 level, although today markets are higher. Now, I felt that this 4,500 pullback was warranted and something that needed to happen. We'll see if we get a little bit more here or not. I mean, even 4,400 coming down to this 50-day moving average and just, you know, giving up a little of where we've been would be healthy, in my opinion, also open the door to some opportunities. Although we had quite a few last week, we'll take a look at those. Today, this week, kicking off with some gains, S&P 500 higher. We could also take a look at the Dow. The Dow up 1%, and the Dow leading the way today. And the Dow actually with a loss last week, but we see that it's really minor. The Dow down 1.1%. The NASDAQ also suffering a losing week, also like the S&P, the worst week since March, on Friday finishing down 2.9%. The Dow right now leading the way, helped out a little bit by Boeing. If we look at Boeing, we see that Boeing positive up almost 3%, 2.75%. We see here that there is some news potentially helping Boeing now, but Boeing right now up nicely, and the Dow leading the way. The NASDAQ flat for the session, still positive, but a little bit flat. And if we look at the heat map in PowerX Optimizer, we could see here that, let's close this. We'll come back to the economic calendar in a minute. Here we go. So the S&P 500, a lot of green, but Apple is a bit of a drag right now. Down over 2%. Qualcomm also down a little bit. Tesla down 2.7%. Exxon down a little bit here, but a lot of green. If we look at the NASDAQ, we see that it's just these big guys, Tesla and Apple, pulling, you know, weighting down on the NASDAQ. Huge market caps there, and that is a weight on what's going on in the NASDAQ. If we take a look at the Dow 30, that Apple is still part of the Dow 30, a weight on all of the indices, but look at all of the green here in the Dow 30. So it looks like 29 stocks positive, one negative. That's why the Dow is leading the indices right now. And we'll see where we go from here. Now, looking at the economic calendar. So last week, huge week for earnings. 85% of the S&P have reported earnings. So earnings season kind of coming to an end, slowing down at least. And last week we also had jobs. So it was a busy week for jobs. And Friday the jobs report really wrapped things up. It was a cooler report. Smallest job increase since December of 2020. Traders, that would be what actually traders want to see. But this week we have inflation. So jobs, inflation data, the key items on the calendar data that the Fed takes into consideration. We have core CPI, CPI on Thursday, core PPI, PPI on Friday. And I saw this morning, let's see, who was it? It was Fed Governor Michelle Bowman. She said that she expects more interest rate increases that they are necessary to bring down inflation. She said that additional increases will likely be needed to lower inflation to the 2% goal. Quote, I will be looking for evidence that inflation is on a consistent, meaningful downward path as I consider whether further increases in the federal funds rate will be needed and how long the federal funds rate will remain at a sufficiently restrictive level. So this data, something that the Fed's definitely keeping an eye on, and that data gets released later this week. If we look at Fed funds futures here, let's go ahead and look at the CME FedWatch tool. We see that the next Fed meeting, we do not have a meeting this month. So the next Fed meeting, 44 days, 2 hours, 53 minutes, 20 seconds away. So a lot of data to be released between now and then. Right now, the probability of no hike is 85.5 in spite of what Fed members might be saying. And the probability of a quarter point hike, 14.5%. Now, if we look at the overall probabilities for upcoming meetings, right now, it does look like traders are betting that the Fed will decrease rates at the March meeting and that rates will remain the same and they will not go any higher. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. A lot of data to be released, and that could definitely have an impact, especially on the trajectory of where we go from this peak, right? So if this ends up being as high as we get rate-wise, the inflation data, I believe, could have an impact on just how quick we cut or whether or not we start cutting in March or May or June, right? So we'll see if that has an impact Thursday, Friday. But right now, traders saying, hey, the Fed's done. We'll have to see if the traders are right or not. Now, another thing that was a little bit interesting is that we're getting all of this mixed data on whether or not there should be an inflation, there will be an inflation, or if we should even be worried about it. Here we see that, let's see, Wells Fargo, this is on CNBC. Wells Fargo stands by recession call. Despite several economists becoming more sanguine on the economy recently, Wells Fargo still expects a recession to take place. From a Wells Fargo analyst last year, we released a 3-report series that outlined a couple methods to predict recessions and monetary policy pivots. Today, all 3 major tools still signal a recession within the next year. So Wells Fargo saying there's still going to be a recession, but a lot of other big names backing off saying that, you know what, the risk is still there, but we're going to say maybe not on the recession side. JP Morgan on Friday, bailing on the recession call, this again from CNBC. Given this growth, we doubt the economy will quickly lose enough momentum to slip into a mild recession as early as next quarter, as we had previously projected. And not only did JP Morgan back off a little bit, let's see here. I want to say that, the mood on Wall Street has changed about the economy. Earlier this week, Bank of America also threw in the towel on its recession call, telling clients that recent incoming data has made us reassess the forecast. Goldman Sachs also lowering its probability for a recession to 20%, down from 25%. So all in all, it seems like the potential for a recession based on big banks and their analysts now minor and small, the probability being much lower. Worst case, maybe we have this soft landing where we go into a recession, but it's just not bad compared to what some people believed in 2022 when the Fed was hiking rates at every meeting. So that's why the markets are where they're at. And we'll see if Wells Fargo standing out like a sore thumb right now ends up being right, or if some of the other banks are correct with their assessment that recession worries are done. Now, let's take a look at some market movers and then look at open positions here. Berkshire, let's look at Berkshire Hathaway. And there we go. So Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, look at this, getting up to levels that we haven't seen since March. And look at that overall on a weekly chart. What a nice move here, up 3%. Now, they actually showed a nice second quarter profit. And we could go to a daily chart just to see how this looks on a daily chart. Better than expected earnings, better than expected revenue, revenue boosted by its insurance division and also from its investment portfolio. Right now, traders liking Berkshire Hathaway. Let's take a look at another market mover. This would be Tyson, TSN is the ticker. Clawing its way back after a pretty nasty slide, was down more than 7-8%, I believe. Right now, down 6.5%. They reported earnings that were worse than expected. Worse than expected earnings per share, also worse than expected revenue, sales declining year over year. Fiscal third quarter missed estimates. Just traders not liking Tyson right now. Although it looks like some saw this as a buying opportunity since we've had a pretty decent reversal in the day itself, although it's still down 6.5% for the session. Now, we could take a look at a few other market movers. Yellow, Y-E-L-L. Look at this nasty move, down 38%. This is a 90-year-old trucking company that filed for bankruptcy. It's closing its business because of huge debt. And I mean, we see that it's just kind of a nasty fall from highs that we had back in, well, you could see it was much higher, but then recently plagued with these bankruptcy worries and dipping below a buck a share, a rally on hopes that maybe something could happen here. Right now down 38%, 99 years. Gosh, that's not how you want to go out. Let's look at Nikola too. NKLA, another one down 12%. Their CEO stepped down on Friday and it posted its second quarter sales, a loss that was smaller than expected, did have some revenue that came in better than expected. Opened higher, but then pulling right back down 11%. So Nikola all over the place today, but now down 11% plus. Let's take a look at trades. Let's take a look at open positions. Let me go back to PowerX Optimizer. And I'm going to bring up my portfolio. Let's move on over. Hey, you know, actually, we could do just looking at Tyson. I liked other opportunities last week, so I have a full portfolio. But yeah, this actually looked, there was a lower strike earlier, but right now, gosh, the premium on this one where the strike is, not a big fan. I'm not too keen on this one, but I am liking positions that I am in. Let's first take a look at PNC. So PNC up a little bit today, up 1%, trading at 132.76. I'm watching PNC looking for an opportunity to sell calls. My cost basis is 136. My break even is 130. So this trade, actually my break even is 129.35. So I'm looking to sell calls at 136, hoping for just a little more upside here, but definitely keeping an eye on this. We could actually go to the calculator and just see where we're at. PNC for this week, 136 right now based on the bid price brings in 21%. 135 brings in 37%. I could get 75 cents maybe on those 135 calls. I'm going to hold out. I think that the 136 will be available, get some nice premium there. And it is one that I'm watching. So PNC looking pretty good, making money on it, even though it's trading below my cost basis. Let's look at another one. We could take a look at, let's look at NEE, Next Era Energy. Both Marcus and I sold the 69.50 put. Right now it's trading at 69.04. The 68 strike is available. 68 strike gives you some nice premium. You know, I love this chart, and the financials look pretty good on this one. Looks like we're testing some support, but you know what? I'd be happy to be assigned at 69.50. If I was looking at this trade with fresh eyes, I wouldn't mind the 68 as a strike to consider. We'll see where the dust settles and where we end up on Friday, but right now those puts are slightly in the money. We'd also take a look at ALB. This is a trade that both Marcus and I put on last week. I sold the 190. Marcus sold the 192.50. ALB pays a dividend. It is a small one. Great PE ratio. Income statement quarterly and annually looks pretty nice. So we both have puts on this. I just went with one strike lower than he did, just because I saw this support zone here and I wanted to be a little bit lower into it rather than at the upper level, although Marcus was comfortable with that. GoDaddy was a trade that we decided to take on Friday. So GoDaddy, both Marcus and I sold the 68 put. This is a pretty nice chart. It does have slightly higher PE ratio, doesn't pay a dividend, but the chart looked great. The net income looked good on this one. I really like this chart here. 68, they had an earnings miss, and so they were down on Friday, but bouncing back a little bit today. We'll see. Maybe I'm able to get an 80% one day exit, 80% gain on that credit received. We'll have to see if that is in the cards for today. And then there's CSIQ. We've been trading CSIQ a few times, and on Friday, we did get assigned. So on Friday, the stock closed at 34.60 below that 34 strike that we sold. And this one, I'm okay owning shares at 35. We'll see if we snap back to these previous support levels. Right now, just kind of pausing, trying to find out where to go. There's definitely some decent premium on the call side here. We were seeing if we could get a little bit more if we were going to bounce back. So far, that hasn't been the case, kind of going sideways throughout the session. So even where things stand right now with the stock being down, the premium is good for anybody looking to sell calls. I'm still holding out just to see if we get a little bit of a bounce here. So overall markets, NASDAQ down, Dow up, S&P up a little bit. We'll see if we sell off a little bit into the close or if we get another surge higher. If we do get another surge, I think that CSIQ trade is going to look okay, get us a little bit better premium. So five positions, two assigned where I own shares, three puts that are sold for Friday. And I do count those as a full position, assuming that I will get assigned. Whenever I sell puts, I believe that I will get assigned, even though our assignment rate has been pretty low for 2023. We also love when we do get assigned because that's typically where we start to, the assigned trades, when you have a nice move, nice support level, a nice quality company, that's when it starts to make some money. So looking forward to making some money on CSIQ. We'll see what happens for those others. And that is where we are today. Let me know if you like some of those trades. If you question some of them, it's okay. I love all of them. Otherwise, I wouldn't have sold the put. And we will see where we end up. So that's going to do it for today's Coffee with Mark. And hey, have a great rest of your trading day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, happy trading, everybody.